Let us pray. God of peace and beauty, in the midst of the world's chaos, we turn to you. With anxiety all around us, we open our hearts to your grace. Beneath the noise of this world, speak your quiet, steady word to us. Even in the tumult, we are listening. A reading from the prophet Isaiah. I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating, for I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy and its people as a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in my people. No more shall the sound of weeping be heard in it, or the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant that lives but a few days, or an old person who does not live out a lifetime. For one who dies at 100 years will be considered a youth, and one who falls short of 100 years will be considered accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they shall be offspring blessed by the Lord, and their descendants as well. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. But the serpent, its food shall be dust. They shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. The word of life. A reading from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. As I work together with God, I urge you not to miss out on the grace of God. For God says, at an acceptable time I have listened to you, and on a day of salvation I have helped you. See, now is the acceptable time. Look, now is the day of salvation. We are putting no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we have commended ourselves in every way, through great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, and hunger. We have endured with purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, holiness of spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God, in honor and dishonor, in ill repute and good repute, with no weapons for the right hand and for the left but the power of righteousness. We are treated as impostors, and yet are true, as unknown, and yet are well known, as dying, and yet look, we are alive, as punished, and yet not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing everything. Hear the word of God for the people of God.
Listen for the living word of God as you hear the good news from Luke's gospel. Somebody commented on the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God. And Jesus said, all this that you see, the days are coming when not one stone will be left on another. It will all be thrown down. The disciples said, when will that happen? And what will the signs be that we'll see it coming? And Jesus said, beware that you're not led astray. Many will come in my name and say, I'm the one. They'll say, the end is near. Don't listen to them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, don't be terrified. These things happen, but it's not the end yet. Then he said to them, nations will rise against nations. Empire against empire. There will be great earthquakes. In various places, there will be famines and plagues. There will be ominous portents. and great signs in the heavens. But before all that happens, you will be persecuted and arrested. They will drag you into religious courts and prisons. You'll be hauled off to face authorities and governments. This will give you an opportunity to bear witness. So don't worry about preparing your defense beforehand, what you're going to say. I will give you words and wisdom that your opponents will not be able to withstand or contradict. You'll be betrayed, even by parents and siblings, even by relatives and friends. Some of you will be put to death. Everybody will hate you on account of my name. But not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls. The Gospel of the Beloved, Jesus Christ. You got to admit, we're not very comfortable when Jesus launches into this apocalyptic science fiction doom and gloom future stuff. When we much rather prefer Isaiah's vision of the future. God is building this new Jerusalem and everyone will live at peace and everyone will have enough and there will be justice. But Jesus goes off into all this stuff about signs and portents in the heavens and feels like the end of the earth. Except, although it sounds to us like science fiction, dystopian future stuff, it's not fiction, and it's actually not the future. Think about somebody who lives in California who's watched their entire neighborhood go up in flames. That stuff that Jesus talks about feels kind of like what just happened yesterday. Think of people fleeing Bangladesh or South Pacific Island nations because global climate change has raised the level of the sea and they have to flee their village because it's flooded. Or Venice that's under 6 feet of seawater. For them, it doesn't feel like it's an exaggeration to talk about the world as we know it ending. All this stuff about people being dragged off to prison, all those people who are being dragged off to prison, all those victims of mass incarceration, doesn't seem like an exaggeration to them. In Arizona right now, there are people on trial facing felony charges, not even misdemeanor, but felony charges for doing nothing illegal, but for being kind by leaving water in the desert for people who might be dying of thirst because it contradicts our immigration policy. Jesus isn't exaggerating. Jesus isn't trying to depress us or frighten us with some future vision. He's talking about the chaos and tumult in our world right now. And just because we're not Kurds in Syria doesn't mean we don't experience that. We experience that chaos and tumult in our own lives on a smaller scale. We get into arguments. We experience conflict. Sometimes it feels like nation against nation in families or at the workplace. Sometimes those dreadful portents are in the sky and sometimes they're in your chest x-ray. Jesus is talking about the real world and how hard it can be sometimes. And in the middle of all that, he says, this will give you an opportunity to bear witness. Jesus is sending us out into that world of hurt with something other than hurt. That's why we're being sent into that troubled world. Jesus is sending us out into a world in which people are angry and saying, you don't have to be angry. When you're surrounded by people who are afraid, you don't have to be afraid. He's talking about the same thing that Paul talked about in that letter that Tegan just read. We've been through beatings and imprisonments and persecutions and stoning and argument and ridicule and all this bad treatment. And how did we do it? With kindness, with simple, true speech, with deep faith, with gentleness. Scripture is inviting us to allow God to send us out into the world with a different kind of presence than what's going on in the world. Look at the picture on the cover of the bulletin. It's a picture of a young woman named Aisha Evans. She's a licensed practical nurse from Philadelphia. She was at a protest in New Orleans in 2016 following the police shootings of Orlando Castillo and Anthony Sterling. And she's in the process in this picture of being arrested by the riot police. Notice the two different worlds that they live in, the two different stories that they're telling, two different energies. All those riot police on the left, they're dressed in hard armor. Their faces are masked. Their humanity has disappeared. You can't actually tell if they're human beings or cyborgs. They are ready to fight. And here stands this woman without any armor, nothing but this flowing dress, in this posture of openness and surrender and offering. The men in these armored suits are in the middle of what looks like difficult action. They're kind of pouncing. That one guy on the right looks as if some sort of force is pushing him or something. He's struggling with something. And the woman is in this perfect, serene balance. It reminds me of those old paintings of the arrest of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. In that moment when Jesus says, "It is I," and it blows them back. They literally fall down in fear. Look at those soldiers. They don't look comfortable. They look afraid. How is it that we can do that? How can we do that? Jesus is sending us out to be those people of peace in the middle of all this chaos. How do we do that? We've seen that. I mean, obviously, there's the picture. You can see that it can be done. We've seen it a lot in civil rights demonstrations, protests. I've seen it in little ways in my own life. Just little moments. Years ago, I was at a retreat workshop with Parker Palmer, well-known Quaker author and teacher. People had flown in from all over the country to this Catholic retreat center outside of Philadelphia, and there were about 40 or 50 of us in this circle, and Parker Palmer was lecturing to us, and we were having these discussions. In the middle of one of Parker Palmer's talks, one of the sisters comes in and says, "I really hate to interrupt you, but Mr. Palmer, you have a phone call, and they're saying it's an urgent emergency." And you could just feel the anxiety in the room go. We're all thinking, "Oh my gosh, they're interrupting his lecture? This has got to be serious. Like, his house is on fire. They've kidnapped his wife." And Parker Palmer looked at her and said, "Thank you. I'll be right there." And then he looked around at us. And at first I thought it was sort of like he's getting one last look at his friends before he goes off to die or something. But then he just very calmly said, "Why don't you all just discuss what I've been talking about? I'll be back in a minute." And then he stood up and just ambled across the room. He was in no hurry. He didn't rush. He was relaxed. He was not zooming out the door. His hair wasn't on fire. He just sauntered as if, "Oh, I think I'll go get the phone." And with every step he took, you could feel the anxiety in the room drop, step by step, because he was enabling us to feel that it was absolutely true, that he was going to be okay, and that emergency was going to be okay, and we were going to be okay. He brought such a different presence to that moment that it changed everybody in the room. So how do we do that? How do we do that thing? How do we do that Jesus thing, who is able to be loving in the face of his enemies? How do we do that Paul thing, who could face these beatings and imprisonments with patience and kindness? How do we do that Isha Evans thing of being able to stand there right at the moment that we're being arrested? Well, here's one thing we can do. Prayer and meditation. Every morning, take some time to just practice being still. It hasn't quite sunk in yet. You know, there are times when I manage to stay calm and there are times when I go off the rails. So I have to keep practicing. But that's a practice that changes us. The more we practice being at peace in those little moments, the more we can be at peace in those big moments. Here's another practice that changes how we walk into the world. Gratitude. It's a simple practice, and it actually can change the presence with which we enter the world. Here's how it works. We've evolved a long way from lizards, but we still have that lizard brain in us. In our limbic system, in our brain stem, there's this little tiny lizard brain that's still doing what all those old creatures do in order to stay alive. We're watching out for food, sex, and danger. That's just what we're always looking for. And you can see that. Watch birds at the bird feeder. You notice how they'll peck for like 2 seeds, then they'll look around just to make sure they're not getting attacked. Peck, peck, look around. Peck another, look around. That's that part of our brain. It's just always looking around for danger, ready to fight or else go hide. It's always defensive. It's pure emotion. There's no rational thought in it. It's just pure instinct. Well, luckily, we have evolved since then, and we now have a prefrontal cortex, which houses rational thought and executive function and decision-making. And it's not very good with emotions. Here's the thing. That lizard brain is really good at looking around, no good at concentrating. Our prefrontal cortex is really good at concentrating. And when we concentrate on gratitude, it shuts out all the crud floating over from the back seat, and we don't hear it. It literally replaces all those toxic emotions. Scientists are discovering that the more we practice gratitude, the more it increases those brain synapses that reroute the messages that chill the fear and the anger and the greed and the distrust so that we can be at peace. It turns out that Jesus was not just giving us some apocalyptic metaphor. He was actually talking about legitimate neuroscience when he says, I will give you words and wisdom that you can concentrate on. Words and wisdom that your opponent, your lizard brain, can't overwhelm or criticize. Not because you're smart, but because you're grateful. You won't panic. And here's the great thing. The way our prefrontal cortex works is that because it doesn't do emotions, it doesn't care if you feel gratitude or not. Just practice it. Just do it, even if you don't feel it. It turns out your mom was right when she said, what do you say? And you rolled your eyes and said, thank you. That's how you do it. You just keep saying thank you until you actually do feel it. That's what keeps you from blowing up. The next time somebody gets in an argument with you, just start writing them a thank you card. You won't argue. It actually works. You can practice gratitude. We think of gratitude as a feeling we have in response to something that we like. But it turns out gratitude is an attitude that we can practice so that things happen that we like. That's how we can be in a state of peace no matter what happens out there. Jesus is inviting us to allow God to send us into the world with such gratitude that we can't be shaken. We can't be turned angry by what's going on out there. So I want to give you a chance to practice gratitude in a few ways this morning. Here's the first one. Take 30 seconds to just ponder this mystery that all your sins are forgiven. Imagine this, whether you believe it or not, just imagine that everything about you is cherished. All your sins are forgiven, all your shortcomings and your personality flaws and all those things that you do or don't do that aren't quite perfect, God completely forgives. Not just to tolerate you, not just saying, oh, well, I'll let you off this time, but with real delight says, oh, you're mine. I love you. I forgive you. I want you. Imagine that. And allow yourself to say, thank you, God. It's a pretty cool deal. You can do that anytime. When it gets heated, just remember how beloved you are. If you don't believe it, just practice imagining it anyway. It'll keep you from blowing up. Here's another way to practice gratitude. During the sharing of the peace today, instead of inviting you to say peace be with you to one another, I'm going to invite you to say thank you. Say thank you to each other. Say thank you by name. Actually, just name each other and say, Tracy, thank you. And see how that feels. See how it makes the other person feel. If you're brave, you can even thank them for something. Thank you for praying with us. Thank you for helping me worship. Thank you for singing so beautifully on that hymn. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being you. Notice how it changes how you feel and how the other person feels. Here's a third thing you can do. See all these leaves on this tree? Most of these got put on at the pizza party a couple weeks ago when people wrote down on the leaves things they're grateful for. Well, there are more leaves. There are leaves back there in that basket. And you can grab a leaf anytime you want and grab a pen or a pencil and write on that leaf something that you're grateful for. And if you want to, you can write on more than one thing. You can write on both sides. You can write till you fill that whole leaf up. And if you need more, you can get more leaves. And then put that in the offering. Because our offering isn't just that thing we do to keep the boiler running. It's a way that we practice saying thank you to God so that we live entire lives of gratitude that keep us from blowing up. And here's a fourth thing. Today is the day that we're gathering in our pledge cards, our financial pledges for 2020. And a lot of times people will ask, so give me some guidance. What's the right amount to pledge? The Bible's guidance is 10%. It's easy. You don't have to figure. You don't have to calculate. Just take 10% and give that much. And then let it change you. But here's another guideline. Give whatever feels like real gratitude. You probably know what that is. It probably feels right. You know, when you're in a restaurant, you know what a cheap tip is. You know what a generous tip is. You can probably tell at Christmas time what's a cheap gift and what's a really nice gift. Give, pledge an amount that feels like an authentic way to say, thank you, God. Practicing gratitude. Whatever that amount is, that'll be a good amount. In the offering time, instead of having the ushers pass the plates around, we're going to invite you to come up. These baskets will be here. And you can put in your leaves and your offering and your pledge cards as an act of gratitude. As you come up, just be mindful that this is a way of saying, thank you, God. In fact, you might say thank you to the person who's holding the basket because it's also a gift to receive your gifts. We're being sent out into the world to change it by bearing a different kind of presence than the world generally has. And that's rooted in gratitude. We just have to keep practicing that. And then it's true what Paul said in his letter to the Romans, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Gratitude changes not only our minds, but our whole being, and that changes the world. So I'd like to read together out of the blue hymnal, number 481. Prayer of St. Francis. This is the purpose of our lives. This is why we are sent into this world. This is why God has created us. Let's read together. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be loved as to be useful, to be handsome as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. It is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen.